So other way, do you plan on shooting any big bucks out from first time hunters season?
Huh?
You plan on shooting other people's deers?
Are we getting into that? I mean, I hadn't planned on it.
Yeah.
One time, I'll tell you a funny story about that. Actually, I have two, but I'm just going to share one. One time, Mr. Miles was here, and I was like, hey, come with me to the stand. There's a fucking just piece of shit buck over here I want you to shoot. You know, I want someone to shoot or whatever. It's an old 6-point. And we can get into the debate. Like, there's a, I have to watch podcasts and read the notes, but there's a new update on you can't culling bucks for genetics. It doesn't work. You know, I'll say that we'll get Kyle here for that. But anyways, it's an old 6-point, and I don't care what any study says. I'm shooting it. In reality, like, I wanted to shoot it because there's two different bucks I would like to kill myself. One's a big one, like ginormous, probably bigger than this ranch will ever produce. Two is like shitheads, like old shitheads. Like, I really enjoy shooting old shitheads, unique deer, if you will. But anyways, I don't know why, but I guess Miles just happened to be here, and I was like, "Hey, come over here if you want to shoot a deer." I've been hunting this thing forever. Like, it's during a rut, so they're not stationary whatsoever. You know, so. So they get in the stand, and it's coming in from a long ways out, and I'm like, there he is, Miles. Go ahead and stick your gun out that window, and when he gets to the feeder, it'll be an easy shot for you. So he does what I say. Like, we're in a smaller deer stand, so there's not a lot of room for lots of activities. As Brooke would say, Miles isn't very small. That's a interpersonal joke between us, and he'll love it. But anyways, so his gun's out the window. Like, he's kind of there. And I'm running a short rifle, as always. And this buck's coming in. And, like, this is the first time, you know, he's actually come in while I was in the stand. To this point, I've only seen him on camera. And I've hunted this stand a lot, you know, waiting on this deer. And all of a sudden, he decides to follow this different doe. And starts, like, he takes one step the other direction, and I just throw my rifle out the window and shoot it. Now, is it a big deal? Absolutely not. But Miles, being Miles, he's like, wait, shot my deer from underneath me. Definitely a much different situation than what you're referring to. The latest blow up, hoorah, on the interwebs.
Do you condone first-time novice shooters taking a shot at 630 yards?
No, if I taught them.
Yeah, what if they couldn't load the rifle themselves?
They would not be doing that.
Yeah.
That's okay. We still need to deep dive the actual story instead of, like, the secondhand bullshit and, you know.
Yeah, there'll be a time we need to do that. If you want to get caught up, check out here, Bing, for one of our favorite channels' Bing. Coverage of this situation.
Yeah. I don't know, his coverage was awful, but anyway. I just can't help myself, like, it was. And also, like, the guy's literally condoning people for long-range shooting whilst he's, I know for a fact he's messed up a few, but anyways.
Isn't it part of, like, long range shooting or hunting in general that
hunting in general, yes. It doesn't matter what range. I mean, it just, like I said the other day, like, I would say right now, actual long range hunters, not a hunter going out and deciding to shoot long range at last minute. Actual long range hunters probably have way less wounded animals get away than generic hunters. Now, if this triggers you, I'm sorry. It's also true. I've guided quite a few people, been hunting with quite a few people. I've seen it happen myself a bunch of times. Because your long-range hunter is going to practice a lot more. That's just the reality of the situation. Now, it doesn't matter if it's long-range or 5 yards. Shit's going to happen hunting. It happens every year. Everybody tends to blame the cartridge, whatever. But shit's going to happen. Now, had I not sit with myself, sit with this person on the range, and we practice out to the range they shot at, I would never would have allowed her to even attempt the shot. Again, I don't know the full actual details of the story. It's just kind of going off of what this was said, and apparently it's all got people enraged, which long-range shooting and hunting in general tends to do that, because people still don't understand that you can do it if you practice enough. It's crazy. But she had, it sounds, again, this could be, we could just be working off wrong knowledge here. She had no knowledge, she had no business trying that shot. Like, if you can't load a rifle, one, if you can't load a rifle, I'm not taking you hunting. I'm not a cater to type of hunter. Like, you got to do your shit on your own. Even kids. Yeah, but anyways, that's just preliminary thoughts and opinions.
Yeah, what do you, I mean, so obviously it's being used to paint, because he, the professional long-range hunter who is an advocate for long-range hunting.
Kind of fucked us all now.
He missed too. But again, I guess I don't get, like, you don't expect perfection in every other thing, and I guess.
No, everybody else does.
Yeah. No, it's fine if you fuck up so long as it's like within 400 yards or like, I don't, what's the rule of thumb there?
Yeah. It's whatever the person who's upset.
Yeah.
Like whatever they're, you know. And yeah, the antelope hunt was just prime example of like, I literally practiced more than most people will shoot in probably a year or two.
Yeah.
And I still fucked up. Shit's going to happen. And it doesn't matter what range is at, shit's going to happen.
Yeah.
Let's get off our high horses here. Anybody who's hunted it, hardly any at all.
I've never made a mistake, okay? One shot, one kill. I carry one bullet. I don't even carry spare ammunition on me. I guess here's another question to me as a, you know, as a non-hunter, like, don't know the culture at all or whatever. If you take a shot at an animal and you hit it, but it is a I don't know what you'd call it, directly lethal. Like, it's not going to immediately put the animal down. Like,
right.
It might die after, you know, days and getting an infection and shit, but it's like, it's not going to put the animal on the ground. Like, aren't you the asshole, first of all? Second of all, do you have any more claim to the animal than anyone else?
I don't know. I'm the wrong person to ask about that. Because, like, another story. And I'll sum this up very fast. Me and some buddies, this is a long time ago, I was like 16. We were hunting way back off in on government land. A buddy of mine shot a deer. It's like I had killed a decent deer. Buddy of mine, other buddy had killed a decent deer. This guy had never killed a decent deer. I think it was like the reason why we were going to let him shoot it. He shoots it. And to me, the shot looked like a little far back. This buck like takes out, and we're way back off in there, but like close nearby is private property. And I'm just like, if this bitch crosses the fence, we're fucked. So just so happens it turns and starts running towards us, but it's like 9-0. Just out of like, I'm just like, I'm a good person. Throw up, kill it. And I could tell like he was slightly upset, but also we were kids. But and, you know, I've told that story to a few people and asked them, like, their opinion, like, well, should I have not done that? It was very much like a lot of people said no. But in my mind, I'm just like, hey, if you're on a gun beside me and I pull off a shit shot, like if I wound an animal and, like, you just want to automatically follow me up, I don't give a shit. I mean, that might be because, like, I'm more predator hunter, and that follow-up shots, like having someone there to follow up shoot really fast is like just part of the nature. Or in my opinion, it is. Cause like we used to always double shoot everything just so like we know for sure it's going to be there. But like I can see some people get upset about that kind of shit. But as far as like
fags, like aren't our entire species like born from community hunting? Isn't that the whole point?
Should be. I don't know if that's a thing
like
anymore.
It's not a big deal if you like pay a guy to basically do all the work for you and get you the animal, but God forbid somebody else put another round in it.
I think certain parts of the community that happens a lot. And I've heard lots of stories from guides, you know.
Oh, you Africa, like, guides?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I mean, even like Texas guides, like I've heard stories of people going to the stand with their guide and asking the guide to shoot the animal.
I've heard that out here, specifically from people who, you know, it's a big corporate thing. You know, you get taken out to deer camp and they're like, they've never shot before.
But it, most of those people ain't what I'd call like
hunters.
They're just hunting.
Well, let's be completely fair. Not a whole lot different than like the social media influencer hunters.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. But that said, like I've also
I can't wait to put on my outfit, my Sitka outfit. Go get a picture with his horn so that could be my profile picture for the next year.
That said, like serious deer hunters, they're just a different breed of people. And I know they say that about us predator hunters, but like they get like you know, I've witnessed a lot being around a lot of deer hunters. One thing in particular, and I'm not gonna get too crazy in this story. I'm gonna summarize it. Basically, two guys were hunting the same deer. They didn't know it because deer hunters are deer hunters, and they weren't telling nobody that they were hunting this deer. Like, because I guess they were afraid someone else was gonna try and hunt it.
Yeah.
Instead of like just being, I don't know, adults about it, just be like, hey, I'm hunting this deer. The two guys are hunting the same deer. One guy ends up shooting it while the other one's watching it from afar. Guy goes up, celebrates, goes, gets pickup. While he's gone, the other guy is so upset about it, walks up and shoots the fucking horns off the deer. Now, this story gets way worse than this, and I'm going to leave that part out. It's not really my story to tell. I did later on come into the story. Bad deal. And it's just like, I'm just like, I actually, as a matter of fact, that was like the last year I deer hunted for a while. Because after that, I'm just like, fucking deer lease cost this much. I hunted all this time, and like I'm to the point where I'm wanting to shoot like a big mature deer, and I didn't pull the trigger on nothing. Deer hunt, like leases had gone up substantially, and then witnessing this take place, I'm just like, these ain't my people. This ain't what I grew up doing. Like,
it just, you know, there wouldn't be a fucking issue if the horns didn't happen to be slightly larger than average horns.
Yes,
like
it was a good deer.
No. Well, I'm saying like that situation, this situation, all this retarded stuff. Yeah, it's not over the fucking animal and all that.
Yeah,
literally over. Oh, you took my opportunity to have the big horns that I met on my wall and take my picture of. Ugh.
Yeah, would it be the same outcome if it was a doe? If they were just like me hunting? No, they're like, oh, what's it? It's a doe.
Isn't this another statement on public land though, as a whole?
Well, this story happened on a lease. Ooh. Like, yeah, it was a bad deal.
Yeah.
No, it's just a statement on, like, I don't know. People are toxic.
Like, let's say, here, let's make this manageable. You know, you and your buddy go out to the bar, and you see, like, a 10, and you're like, oh, I'm gonna go shoot my shot at the 10, and you just fuck it up. Are you really going to be mad at your buddy, like, after you fuck up the situation if he goes and he takes her home that night? Because he's a more proficient sportsman.
And we're talking about does again. I don't know. It's just a different mindset.
I think it's all ego driven. I'm both like,
oh yes, definitely.
Like ego-driven. That story was definitely when assholes collide, but it doesn't seem like people are putting way more shit on that the professional hunter because he's a professional, and it's just like fuck off.
Newsflash: professionals fuck up too.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's interesting. I can't, you know, I really need to deep dive it, the situation. Like, I don't want to just run off what's the name story.
Do you think that first timers, like, what responsibility does the hunting community have for first timers shooting?
Meaning?
So, like, a lot of the sentiments out of that were that, like, regardless of the details of the arguments, they're lied in. The second that he realized this was her first time hunting, he should have, like, tracked the animal for her, done all the work, paid for her mount, done all this.
No. Now, this is a hard one. You want to help recruit more hunters, obviously, the larger.
Do you?
I think you should.
Okay.
I mean, obviously, like, in a public hunting scenario, like, that could be detrimental. And I'm sure it has gotten detrimental to some of these people. But at the same time...
Well, you're recording hunters? Are you... like bringing in freeloaders.
You can't be that way and be, you know, pro the hunting.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's always, I mean, again, if I think you need to check your ego if that's how you feel about it. Because, like, you, like, if I see somebody with a big deer or whatever, I'm happy for them. If they're happy, I'm happy for them. And then, like, from a public land hunting standpoint, I hunted a bunch of public land back in the day. Well, not a bunch of land itself. It was, like, relatively small compared to, like, some of this shit they have in other states. But, like, that was just part of it. Like, your shit might get broken into, which those weren't hunters. They were just scumbags knowing where the vehicles are parked. But you might be sitting there watching a deer and someone else come along, shoot it. Like, there could be someone right over there watching the same deer and shoot it before you. Like, that's just part of public land hunting. And if you have your ego in check, you just need to be like, hey, congratulations, good job. Like, you might be slightly upset. Like, especially if you'd been hunting a particular animal for a while. Like, you're putting in a bunch of work, and, like, literally they could just be, like, their first day of hunting, and then just happen along and see it. Like, I don't know. That doesn't exist for me. Like, I wouldn't get upset. I mean, to the point, like, I'm going to cause a scene or anything. It'll probably be in the back of my mind, like, fuck. Like, I spent all this time doing this. Because I've had that happen before. Hunting a particular deer and then someone else shoot it. Like, shit's going to happen on public land. But if you truly care about the sport or traditions and everything else, like, you should go. You don't owe them nothing. Let's just be honest here. But you should be apt to be like, congratulations. You know, need help dragging it? You know, you should portray.
Or just don't be an asshole.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah. Or just leave them the fuck alone. Now, in this situation is totally different because, like, it's like basically they're not sure who killed it, who shot it first, and all this other bullshit. And, like, I don't know, is the whole thing, but, like, that's a very different situation. I definitely would have handled it much differently, but I'm not going to go out of my way because that's their first time hunting. But I'm not going to be mad at them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I'm not going to, like, you don't deserve this. Like, I'm not going to be like that. It
kind of reminds me of, like, there's that whole, like, adage in the UFC where they're like, when it goes to decision and it doesn't go your way, it's like, we should have knocked them out. And it's kind of like, maybe don't take pot shots at deers. You're not capable of putting it down. Like you lose your right to be upset with it when you, the situation's only possible by you whiffing your shot.
Right. You know, that's where, this is where people get twerked off. Before long range hunting became something in the spotlight, something talked about and everything else, there was still people who would go out that had no business shooting beyond 100 yards, probably had not much business shooting 100 yards, whiffing bullets at 400, 500, 600 yards. I mean, that's, you know, I've been hearing about it for years. I see me do it as a young lad. Like, that's kind of where wanting to get better at it came from, like, seeing not deer, those pigs or coyotes, wanting to be able to, like, know what I'm doing to dispatch them at further ranges. But, like, I see myself do it as a kid. Oh, it's, you know, I'm going to try it, you know, because the box says it drops so many inches, you know, it's, you know, and I think that's about 400, 500, 600 yards, you know, like, back then that was a thing. Like, this shit's been happening for years. It's not long range hunting's fault. It's people's fault. I mean, that's just, it's not equipment or nothing like that. It's the person doing it. Like, you know, if the reality is, like, she couldn't even load her own goddamn gun and she hadn't practiced to a point to where she knows it, like, the person who took her and herself don't have a realistic yardage that she's adequate out to, that's her fault. Like, it's, and, you know, no, I don't get behind that. Like, I'm not going to come after long range hunting because this woman decided to long range hunt that day. And I'm also not going to go after the guy because he fucked up, because, like, shit's going to happen. You're going to make bad wind calls. You're going to have the wrong dope. You're going to range the wrong thing. Like, I've seen it happen. I've seen it happen to me. I've seen it happen to several others. Like, too many people put trust in these quote unquote 1,000-yard out of the box systems. Instead of learning how to do something, they just think they could buy their way into shit. And that's really what you find the most of foul ups on long range hunting is like they try to buy their way into it instead of practicing. The reality of the situation is it doesn't matter if it's 5 yards or 1,000, shit's going to happen. Shit's going to go south. You want to try and like mitigate that as much as possible. But I mean, the reality of the situation is shit's going to happen. But I don't know if that answered your question, but I don't know. I'd be interesting. All I've heard is a bunch of talk and rumors at this point. I heard she's basically, from what I understood, not from that video, but from talking to a few others. Like, she basically was, like, a total C-word about it.
Karen.
Yes. Like, waited till after it was all done to get on there and just bash the living shit out of him. You know? And then I heard she had no business making a shot. And it's... I don't understand why we care this much. I mean, it's... Well, honestly, like, we have to comment on it.
Imagine like being topic. In that situation and like fucking up a shot, having no business doing it, and then some other guy just happens to like out asshole you that day, and then you go on the internet and like blow it all up.
Yeah,
it's like you're an asshole too. Like you guys are both assholes.
Yeah, it's you're not.
Especially that poor guy. I say poor guy. Whatever. He lost his little outdoor life gig, but that magazine's probably shit anyway. So who gives a fuck?
Who reads magazines still?
Apparently all these
he might be the editor that we did rebuttal to.
Oh shit.
In that case you're an asshole. I'm just kidding.
No, it's the all the fucking internet warriors who like would have white knighted the fucking deer, you know, to the woman. Like it's like all these big people commenting on this thing who probably would have been even bigger cocksuckers if there was a disputed situation. But oh, I mean, who knows? Deer hunters.
I mean, I don't know. I'd love to hear your thoughts down below on this. Like, I mean, for those that don't know, basically alleged this lady shot a deer and wounded it, a big mule deer. Alleged it took out, and this other hunter, the whatever, I don't remember his name, sees it, shoots it, puts it down, or maybe he wounded it and then tracked it down and killed it. I don't remember the full details, but basically, somewhere in between the original first shot and him dispatching it, from what I understand, they met up before they found, like, the deer was actually dead. And he was like, yeah, I shot and wounded one. She's like, yeah, I shot and wounded one. She's like, yeah, mine had a collar on it. Did you see a collar on yours? Because apparently it was collared by the whatever, you know.
That's another question DNR I have for you. Like, I would assume you're not supposed to shoot collared deer.
No, that's not a thing. Basically, they just call them for studies. And what they do once you do. I guess
the fucking study's over.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's it is what it is. Like, there are tons of studies going on right now, and which is great. But anyways. Apparently, he didn't see a collar, but she did, and ended up having a collar on it. I think the biggest question is, like, did he take her deer? Regardless. If he rounds over heel, he sees a wounded mule deer. And she's not around. Like, I'm trying to put myself in those shoes. Like, if I wounded a deer, number one, if I wounded a deer, I'd just be a fucking mess. I mean, if you do wound a deer, you should be like, you need to try and put it in the back of your mind because if not, you'll fuck up again. But you should care. Like, you should want to give them an ethical, humane, fast death. But the reality of the situation is sometimes you're going to fuck up. If I was in that situation, I would just wound a deer. I round a heel. I see a wounded deer. I'm going to kill that deer. I don't care. Like, the only way I wouldn't have is if she'd have been standing there and be like, that's my deer. I'm about to shoot it. Like, I would have gotten out of the way. Sure. But if, like, she's not around. And, like, there's some, I guess, there's some debate about how that happened. Like, apparently she made it sound as if they like basically ran ahead of her or some shit, and reality is like it doesn't sound like that's the actual.
Be better at tracking.
I don't know. It's I don't know why so many people care. I mean, what would you do?
I don't know. You would be with me, and I would just, if I was ever hunting a deer, I'm sure you would be nearby. Be like, I'd be like, wait, what do I do? Honestly, in that situation, like, if I, like, that's where I don't understand, and I can't really find the firsthand accounts, but I would love to, like, actually hear them tell the story, like, yes. Them.
We should find the guy.
Do you expect the girl. Him to just, like, okay, the deer's, like, I don't get it, because, again, in my mind, it's like the kill shot's what kills it, unless, like, you take a shot at a deer and somebody like instantly zings it. It's like if you killed the deer, like you killed it.
Right.
Like, what? Like, if I, you know, if I got a grazing shot on him and I entitled to it, do I just go like put a 22 in every single animal and it's like, it's all mine. It's mine. Give it to me.
Oh, I guess that's like the biggest part of the argument is whose deer it actually is?
Yeah.
I say whoever killed the son of a bitch.
Well, yeah, apparently certain states have, like, first blood laws, but that's also, it's not that state. Like, that's, it's kind of like, cares? It's like deciding on, like, the property, like, who, before you were here, you stole the land from them, and it's like, yeah, and they stole it from 30 other people, so. Right. Like,
I think, I mean, it's all goofy shit. Like, had I been there and just been, like, a random person out hunting, and I seen a wounded deer, even if I knew it was wounded, I'd still kill it. Mercy killing, boom. Even if it was a shit deer. Actually, I have wasted a lot of tags dispatching wounded deer, whether it be from coyotes or one time as a road hunter. I would, had I been there, I don't care. Like, I don't care. Like, I don't care if I can look a few ridges over and see the person in tow. If there's a wounded deer in front of me, I'd kill it. I don't give a shit how mad it made them.
Yeah.
Now, had I seen someone coming in tow, I would obviously be like, do you want this deer? Like, I don't get into, like, the whole, I don't know. Now, that said, we might as well make this about this. That said, through the years of taking people hunting or helping guide people or actually guiding people, whitetail hunters, like, you know, I'm trying not to use it derogatory, deer hunters or whatever, like, they get really excited as it pertains to, like, making the shot and stuff. And, you know, and I get that feeling, because I get that feeling on bobcats, but I'm able to make myself calm down. I actually practice a lot, so it's just ingrained in my brain, getting a job done and then getting excited afterwards. But from I've seen it a lot happen on long range hunting in particular. People get worked the fuck up. And I've also seen, like, hunting as a larger group. I'm not going to use any names, but you're listening and you know who you are. They get super excited and they start getting super rushy and, like, to the person on the gun. This is the worst thing possible you can do. Stop doing that. A lot of times these hunts are conducted as more than one person. I mean, there are people out there that do it, absolutely. A lot of times these hunts are conducted as two, three, four people. You know, it depends on what you're doing. If you're the guy that's like the self-proclaimed guide, or like you're just like the one that with the most amount of knowledge and experience in the group, pay attention to your shooter. Make them calm down. Like, this is the biggest tip I can give anybody as it pertains to long-range hunting or hunting in general. What I typically do, like, especially when I take kids out hunting in our deer blinds, one, I don't tell them about the buck. Like, it's big. It's, you know, I don't amp them up. It's so huge. Don't mess it up. I don't rush. Shoot. You know, I don't do that shit. And I still see... The last long range hunt I went on, there's a couple of us. I still see adults who act that way because, like, that's in their brain. Like, they're super excited. They just want to get it killed. And the reality is, the situation is, slow it the F down. Like, that's one of the benefits, and I say this all the time, that's one of the benefits to longer range hunting, is you typically have more time. Whereas, like, if you're on the ground stalking, or in a deer blind, 100 yards, and, like, sometimes time is of the essence, because you're within their core area. Like, you might potentially scare them. Excuse me. So, long-range hunting, people just need to slow down, calm down. Like, you're at long ranges. They typically don't even know you're there. I mean, if you're at long ranges, they know you're there. Like, you're probably just an awful hunter. But slow down, calm down. Don't, if you're a watcher, or, you know, you're beside the guy who's running the gun, don't shoot it now. Shoot. Now, I know that's pot calling kettle black, because I know I've heard myself do this before in the predator hunting rack. But also, that we're getting back in close range again. Like, I know when this animal is going to bug out. But long range, slow it down. Calm down. The worst thing you can do is amp up your shooter. And if you are a spotter, guide, whatever you have, whatever the case may be, if you're just watching the shooter, if they're amped up, they're all over the place, make them come off the rifle. But like I was saying, like, about kids, like, I don't never tell them, like, that's a big buck, or shoot now. Like, I noticed this was predator hunting, and I stopped doing it. Shoot now. I've seen this so many times. People just pull the trigger. Like, they may not even be on the animal. Like, you just say, shoot now. Like, instinctively, they might just pull the trigger. And that's the worst thing you can do to a kid in a long-range hunting scenario, anything like that. What I tend to do, again, going back to kids, and I treat adults the same way, especially newer hunters, is I make them watch the animal as long as possible. Because, like, once they've seen it for a while, like, it's eventually those nerves are going to die down some. But if they, like, a lot of people, when their targeted animal comes into view, they get super amped up. And there's nothing you can do about that. Like, they're just super excited. Well, I mean, there are certain things, but we'll get into that later. But they get super excited. But I found with kids, like, if you just sit there and watch them, make them watch the animal, they'll eventually calm down. Same thing with adults. If you just sit there and make them watch the animal for a while, they'll eventually calm down. Take the rush out of it. If it's not a good shot, don't try to rush and make it a good shot. I mean, that's probably like the best advice I can give you from a long range hunting standpoint. Like, you're long range hunting. Time of flight is much longer than, let's say, 100 yards. I mean, with modern cartridges, it's not very long. But anyways, a lot of things can happen from the time you pull the trigger to the time that bullet makes the impact. And we're talking about split seconds here. But take your time. Never, ever try to make a shot work. Like, if it's not a good shot, it's not a good shot. You're long-range hunting. You have the ability to move into a better position because you're further away. Never rush your shooter. And if they're, like, if you can visually see them, like, you know, all, and I've seen this, like, people just be shaking all over the place. Come off the rifle. Are you uncomfortable? Like, if they're laying prone, are you uncomfortable? Or, like, whatever. Fix their shooting position. Make them focus on something else. Like, talk them down. Tell them, calm down. Take a deep breath. Not, shoot now! Shoot. And, hey, I've watched some guys, and I'm not going to use any names, that'd be butthurt. The shooter actually wasn't that fucking hyped up. Like, just normal amount of nerves and stuff. And I'm over here like, take a deep breath, calm down, watch that reticle. If it's bouncing all over the place, don't even think about touching that trigger. But there's two other ones like, you need to hurry up, you need to shoot it now. You know, they're just like, they're just in fucking panic kill mode. And I'm just like, y'all need to shut the fuck up. Y'all are making this worse for him. Everybody calm down. It's not going anywhere. We can see forever. If it moves 50 yards left, it doesn't matter. But anyways, calm the fuck down. Here's a scenario for you. Let's say if this lady would have practiced properly, had a potentially a better guide. And I'm not throwing any darts at anybody. I'm just saying potentially, because like, if you are the experienced hunter and you have a novice hunter and the novice hunter messed up, that's your fault. I mean, yes, they're, you know, you could do everything right, calm them down, everything else, make them practice a lot, everything else. They could still potentially mess up. But at the end of the day, it sounds like to me, the guy who took the woman hunting probably should have stood up and be like, you can't shoot that far. Or, you know, whatever the case may be. But like, it's the way I look at it, it's your fault if the person you're taking hunting for the first time messes up. Like, that's totally on you. Make them practice more. Don't overgun them. Wear hearing protection. Let's not take their first event and develop a lifelong flinch. But calm down. Know the person you're taking hunting, know their limits. It's crazy. If they're only capable of holding one MOA group at 300 yards and then they just fall apart after that, don't try to push them out to 500-600 yards. Keep them within 300 yards. Know their limits, know your own limits, and go from there. I mean, this could have been avoided, but it happened. I'm sure it happens every year. And I'm sure if we did some, like, Googling, we'd find some crazy fucking stories about people shooting someone else's buck and how mad they get and everything else. Because I know, why tell hunters be crazy like that?
I want to reform my answers a little bit. Earlier you were asking, like, how would I handle it? I think the first thing is, anytime I've ever been hunting, it's been with other people. And so it's never felt like, if you kill something, it's not like, oh, you did that. It's like, oh, it's a kind of like a community effort. So that's kind of a different thing.
That's the way I've looked at it. And like, now that we're in this subject, it just dawned on me like how many times I've been predator hunting, I've shot something from underneath someone, and how, like, watching how mad they get. And I'm just like,
well, in my mind, like, if you're out in a group, the goal is to kill things, and whatever gets things killed.
Yes, some people, like, oh, the more I think about it.
But here's the other thing. If it was, like, some kind of paid hunt situation where I paid, like, $20,000 for an animal, I could see myself having a little bit more emotional investment, but just, like, public land hunting. Like, okay, I'm going to read you. I found the original post.
From who? The girl?
The girl's perspective. And there's a couple things that really stick out to me. The first one being just the opening. Because you know when anytime anybody opens with something like this on social media, Karen. I've debated posting this post because I don't like contention and I don't like putting others down in any way. I feel I am a peacemaker and I always try to see the good in others and forgive quickly. But I feel the need to share my story so others can hopefully learn from this as well. So that's like, red
virtue signaling.
First of all, butt cancels out, so everything you say before the butt is negated if you say butt. So that's the first thing. Is like, people who are like that mentality of like, I normally wouldn't say something like this, but I feel the need to educate everybody on this. And it's like you bitching about something that happened to you in life. Like, sorry, like, shit happens sometimes. If I made a Facebook post every time I felt wrong, that would be a nobody would like me, first of all. So there's one point where they're discussing. So, you know, the shooting happens, whatever, and then, like, these two groups link up, basically both trying to find their deer. And essentially the professional, quote-unquote, hunter is like really adamant about getting to the animal, and they're like this woman and her husband are like, oh no, just give it some time, it'll die, like, you don't have to hurry on it or something. Like, they're like trying to actively like not quickly look for it,
so
as to let it bleed out.
Yes and no. So like, if you made a good shot, it was a hard shot, and you watched it run over there and lay down. Ideal situation, you just sit there and keep an eye on it.
Yeah.
Not, like, the potential to exist, like, you rush up on a deer or whatever and push it a little bit further. Like, the best thing you can do is just let it lay there and die, bleed out. But if they made a shit shot, like, that goes out the window. So when they, in that, according to her, when they met up, were they still, like, did they think he shot his own deer and she shot her own deer still?
Yeah.
Okay. So he's like, I know I made a, is it like to the point that I know I made a shitty shot. I need to find this animal.
Yeah, that's what
And she's like, I made a good shot. We're going to let it bleed out.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. Easton, this is her husband, knowing we are getting closer, tells him we need to give the deer a minute and not chase the buck. He tells the man again, my wife hit him twice. Just give him a minute. Of course, this guy just runs ahead of us. As we run behind trying to keep up, the man shoots off two shots. He was standing over a dead deer.
I want to see his side.
Also, he apparently, he tells Easton right in front of me, your wife doesn't deserve a deer this big. And then it turns into, who is this man to tell me what I deserve and what I don't?
That is kind of douchey so if he said that.
Let's be honest. Like, it's, I, you know, there's like two sides of the story, or the three sides of every story. And yes. It's like, the what reality probably happens. I guess what bothers me is people who get into situations and then, like, I understand not wanting to be confrontational, but it's like, they'll just let a situation happen only to then go and, like, color their side of the story. Yes. And it's like, yeah, passive aggressively after the fact.
Yes, that's...
That's most people, but...
Whether or not that's true, it's still a douchey way to look at it. Like, I don't...
Yeah.
Again, I, you know, maybe I'm just, maybe I'm just built different. Like, you put the biggest deer on planet Earth.
I would have just probably noped the fuck out of that situation. Like, gotten as far away from it as humanly possible.
Biggest deer in, like, someone, like, literally, if it's legal. I mean, if they're poaching, that's a different goddamn story. But legally, like, there's just nothing you can do about it. Like, they just shot it before you. I'm going to be happy for them. I'm not going to be like, this is your first time hunting. You don't deserve this. You have to shoot a bunch of shit deer before. Blah, blah, blah. Now, the funny part is, like, on Dylan's first buck, I had the same moment where I'm like, it's not so much like he didn't deserve it, because Dylan definitely deserved it. Like, he put in the practice. He put in the work on the ranch, filling feeders and everything else. Like, he deserved whatever, like, we could put him on. But what I didn't want to do is, like, start him out on a pretty big deer and then, like, expectations. But, I mean, this wasn't a big deer. it was a old as shit, junky 8-point. Whereas we actually went over there to shoot a coal, what I call a coal buck, which is like a shitty 4-point. But, like, it was me, Daniel, his son, and my son sitting in the shoot house. We were actually just waiting till a little bit. The deer we were going after was there. And basically, I was like, if a doe, if there's a doe out there, Wim can shoot it, or if another shit buck comes in. And just out of nowhere, this old shit buck, like older ancient buck comes in. Dan's like, you ever let Dylan shoot that? And I said, I didn't want him to shoot something that big for his first buck. Cause, like, then in his mind, he might be expecting to just only go up from there. But Dan's like, it doesn't matter. And then it dawned on me, like, yeah, you're right, it doesn't matter. Yeah. But I would never, you know, that guy don't, if he did say that, he don't know. They could have walked 50 goddamn miles chasing this mule deer.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, it's like, did he really say that?
Is he
a douche?
I mean, he's probably a douche, let's be honest. The man was basically claiming the deer from the moment he ran ahead of me and shot him, but of course he kept changing his story and, in my opinion, manipulated the situation to his favor. I felt disrespected. He knew I was trying to avoid any fights or arguing, so we stayed calm, and he took advantage of that.
Oh, gosh.
He pushed past me to the race down the buck that I had rightfully shot twice, and I know that deer would have expired. First of all, if you didn't...
Where did you hit it?
Yeah, like, there's no saying, like, oh, I hit it in this point, hit it in that point. It's like, it's like aimed at the big middle, like, oh, like...
again, it's...
You shoot a deer twice with a 6.5 PRC... supposedly, and it's running away, and you're tracking it down, like,
probably shooting
core locked.
Probably not even core locks. Probably shooting some sort of solid that I gotta have blood trail bullet.
And I know that deer would have expired. This was an experience of a lifetime, and he took that from me.
If you shot it twice, and those were at least one of those was a good shot, why are you still chasing it?
This was an experience of a lifetime, and he took that from me. He robbed me of my experience and completely left me feeling down, even to the point I was fighting hard to hold back tears.
You know what? We don't want you in our hunting community. You can't handle a little bit of disappointment. You're not going to make it as a hunter. Well, I'm sorry. It doesn't matter about sex here, like man or woman. If this was a man, we would definitely ostracize the shit out of him.
Whether it's that asshole, the other asshole, or like this group, it's like, where's like the deserve? Like, you don't deserve the animal. Like, if there's like an entitlement to it. It's
right.
You know, if you, again, it comes down to if you want to have that level of entitlement, we'll put the work in to be able to act like adequately dispatch an animal with minimal suffering, and then you wouldn't have this issue. but then it gets even worse.
God, we need to find what he said about it.
I know that's. There was another. I'm going right now. I'm fully committed to the when assholes collide is probably what happened.
Potentially, because if this guy is like a, I can easily see being a. And I could be totally calling this wrong, and I'm not even making any kind of assumptions here. But if this guy's kind of in the limelight and he's a big time hunter and everything else, I can easily see him being an asshole.
What if he's autistic?
And saying something like, you didn't deserve this, which I'm sure this story is blown a little bit out of proportion.
Or, I mean, even if you, the timing of when he said that could have meant everything, right? Like, if he, like, let's say he gets the animal and he knows where he shot it. He sees his shot and he puts the thing down, like, and then like after all this rigmarole or whatever, like at the end, it's like, you don't deserve it, as in, like, this isn't yours?
My question is, okay, there's a picture of her with the buck.
Yeah.
So who ended up with the goddamn deer? Him?
Him.
So, like, what, he's an asshole, but he's not such an asshole that he allowed her to take a picture of it? Like, she seemed pretty happy in the photo.
Yeah.
This seems like a lot of... It's just all drama and bullshit. It's just,
this was what it says. It says, he should have allowed them their space because if they would have found the deer, she would have had a completely different, amazing experience that she deserved, because the deer could have hopped up and she could have finished him off. And then that man couldn't have, like, basically saying that by him going and finishing the animal off, he took that opportunity from her. I could see, I mean, side note, if he's a hardcore hunter, he could just be like autistic about like animal suffering need to go.
I don't know.
As soon as he got to the deer, he wouldn't let go. He moved the animal, took pictures, and even said a prayer confirming his buck. We tried to stay as nice as possible, but his lies continued. His story changed multiple times. He wasn't willing to talk about it and said we would autopsy the deer, would see what happened.
What if she's 100% being like factual and everything else, and he's just a fucking asshole?
That's very likely.
I mean, she's not really coming off. Again, I hate written word.
Well, he could be an asshole, autistic. But I think their response to him being an asshole is assholeish. So everyone's an asshole.
Hashtag whitetail hunters.
Because, like, I mean, would you, like...
By the way, this is a mule deer.
So if this even happened to you, would you even, like... I feel like if somebody really did this to you, like this exact situation, I feel like you wouldn't even publicly talk about it.
Meaning, oh, what the woman's doing? Like, am I in a guy's shoes?
Like, because you've had less than stellar situations with people, and yes. It's like, it's just, let's not, like, it's not worth the stirring the shit.
Not really.
Yeah.
Now, if this happened to me, which I can't, you know, again, now, if something similar happened, like.
You would have settled it there, let's be honest.
Yes. Well, I would have felt like I settled it there. But if the other person persisted and wanted to put out a smear campaign against me, I would most definitely, like, here's the facts as it happened. Done.
He wasn't wearing orange on his head the entire time.
Oh! Ah! That's a violation, sir. Actually, I don't know what the rules and laws are there. It just seems like she's far reaching there.
We learned that we need to video future hunts to protect ourselves. You know what?
You know maybe what? She's not painting a good picture. I'm trying to be...
Just practice.
I'm trying to be like a non-biased here.
Yeah.
She's not painting a pretty picture. Anywho, are we back?
I'm going to skim this real fast.
So this gentleman's name is Aram Von Benedict, which he was clearly.
What a cool fucking name, by the way.
I'm not a fan.
Really?
Aram?
Von Benedict. The third.
He sounds like somebody who would,
shoot a lady's deer.
Betray us. Benedict Arnold? Yeah. Coincidence? I think not.
I don't know, but... Eggs Benedict is a pretty killer breakfast dish, so you gotta benefit. You gotta balance those two. Okay, I guess. So this is like a hike in hunt. Everybody hiked into this. When they ran into Easton and Rochelle Pryor. They were all friendly.
Pause. Her name's Rochelle.
Spelled R A C H E.
I'm Rachel. Siding with Aram.
Dude, what are these names? Aram, Easton, Rochelle? Or is it like John, Henry, Mike?
You don't never trust anybody named Rochelle. Just saying.
I feel like there's a story there.
No, you don't trust anybody named Rochelle.
We're going to get roasted on this, aren't we? You guys are a fucking asshole. I knew it. Hey, we're just saying what everybody else is thinking.
Exactly.
So I guess they had told them that they're hunting the canyon phase. Rom informed Easton and Rochelle. At dawn, we spotted 3 bucks, but they moved behind a screen of trees, and I wasn't able to shoot. I was prone and ready, just needed them to step clear for a shot. Then Rochelle began shooting. The deer we were watching didn't move, so we thought they were shooting a different buck. Her first 2 shots sounded like misses, which they later corroborated. Her third shot sounded like a hit. She shot once more for a total of 4 shots. There was no sound of a hit from the last shot. She was shooting roughly 630 yards. Well, 4 shots.
So, what are the chances that Mr. Benedict, I'm just going to say that, because I can't say his first name. It's weird. What are the chances he actually wounded a different deer and went and shot her deer? And he was like, oh, this one's better. This is mine.
Oh, man. There's like, just
sounds like it could be not, like it could be a thing.
You know, even funnier, there was like crested right up over that is the deer he shot, and it was his deer was even better. And like everybody's so focused on this one deer, there's a dead deer just like 15 yards away.
It's a possibility, sounds like.
The 3 bucks we were watching came running out from behind the trees, and none of them showed signs of injury. I said to my son, she must have killed a different deer. The biggest buck was trotting sideways to me. Then he stopped, quartered away, and I shot. I should have taken the time to range him, but I didn't. My shot went low due to the additional distance and struck him in the right front leg. The impact was obvious, and as he ran now, his leg was not working. I was frustrated by making a bad hit. The range was 730 yards. I hadn't realized he was moving away as well as sideways and failed to dial for the additional range. We encountered the other couple casting around in the oaks. Look at this rider, this outdoors rider, casting around in the oaks. They were talking loudly, and Easton told me he'd lost sight of their buck at the 4th shot and never could find him again. Never mind. They figured he was dead right in that area. I told him I'd also shot a buck, but that he had made off and showed them exactly where he had traveled. They asked if the buck was wearing a collar, and my son and I both answered that we had not seen a collar but didn't know. We never said they didn't have a collar, just that we hadn't seen one. Rochelle found blood, and it followed the exact route I had pointed out my buck had traveled. I figured it was the buck I shot. They figured it was the buck she shot. We took up the trail, and they hurried to get ahead of us. I trotted to catch up with them and asked them to work together. I told Easton I was not going to steal his wife's deer. That when we recovered it, we would look at the facts and determine who the buck belonged to. I was hoping their buck was still lying dead in the back in the oak brush like they had originally thought. I do feel badly that Rochelle felt like I was pushy. I do get intense when I'm trying to recover a wounded animal. Mm-hmm. And in this case, I knew that we needed to push the buck to keep it bleeding. If the buck was allowed to bed up and his wound coagulated, he would be nearly impossible to track down and recover. I did suggest to Rochelle that she carry her rifle ready for action in case the buck got up in front of us and she had a chance to finish it. We finally jumped the buck and got him running again and bleeding. The trail was easy from there on, and shortly we caught up with a buck at the bottom of a small canyon. I shot him. He took off down the wash, and I ran and shot him again. Easton and my son were with me. So, a whole box of ammo at this point.
Hang on. So, she at least hit it once, possibly twice.
She thinks she shot it twice. He thinks that she shot it once, so had three misses initially.
He shot it once. And that he shot it
the second time on the leg. And then that.
He just shot. He shot two more times.
Yeah, so four shots total.
So it looks like a cheese grater.
Yeah.
So, okay, continue on. I want to know if they skin it out and like look for bullet holes and...
We then took the time to try and enjoy the harvest and take photos. It was not like she portrayed. We all took photos, and I was happy for them to take photos. In fact, I took a number of photos of them myself. Just goes to show you how a person can skew information. When I first saw the buck in the canyon bottom, I saw the color and realized for sure that we had been shooting at the same buck. Now, had I known before I shot the first time that she hit it, I never would have shot at it. But the buck showed no signs of injury when it was trotting prior to my shot, and I believed Rochelle must have shot a different buck. Now we have a problem. Contrary to the atmosphere she portrayed in her post, the scene was very cordial. There was no raised voices, no profanity, no meanness. I suggested we perform an autopsy to determine exactly how many shots had hit the buck. We found four. Her shot, which had entered the skin just above the bottom line and just behind the belly button, then entered the abdominal cavity, then passed underneath the guts. It's the first abdominal hit I've ever seen that I don't believe would have been lethal. Then exited the abdominal lining in the skin, leaving about a 3/4-inch hole, which was plugged tight with caul fat. But for the small spot of wet hair around the entrance, there was no blood or fluid draining from either entrance or exit hole. My first shot was in the right front leg, which almost completely severed the knee. I'm not proud of the shot, but it's what provided a blood trail enabled us to trail the buck. We know with certainty that I made this wound because we watched it happen. A close range pass through. Shot low through the chest, likely through the heart. A second close-range pass-through shot center chest, likely through the lungs and top of the heart.
Where was her? So
her shot was the one that came in at the belly button.
So she... okay, so... Again, it's hard to say because you're not there. You didn't see it and everything else. And they, if I'd have been healed, which there may be, and there's not seeing them, I'd have documented the photos because...
Well, I think he may have had him on his Facebook post, but...
One... I'm assuming what he's calling a knee is like the joint, the first joint down from, you know, the shoulder.
Well, he said it... where was it at?
Those typically don't bleed much. Just saying.
Severed the knee. Yeah, it's right at the...
Like blew the freaking leg off? Those typically don't bleed much, especially like if you missed all everything else and just put a round through there.
Yeah.
Those typically don't bleed much. I'm not sure I'm buying that part. I mean, obviously, I'm you know, it's hard to say because like, okay, so if he is this monster that she basically made him out to be in her post, this is clearly how a monster would respond who's in some sort of public spotlight that potentially lose a job over it, which sounds like he did. Can you confirm that he did?
Oh, yeah, he did.
Right. Clearly, he's going to spin it in a way that's, I mean.
Yeah.
Here's my guess. There's probably bits of truth in both of them.
Oh, I think so, too.
And she's probably being more dramatic than he is.
Yeah.
But the sad reality is,
that's what he said. There's no more holes in the deer. Easton insisted that they'd hit the buck twice, and that's where my disconnect is. You have these people who were clearly shooting at an animal that they probably shouldn't have been shooting at the distance they were shooting at, they didn't even know which direction it went. Like, they were convinced it was over here, but then it was actually where, you know, this professional guy was saying, oh, it's over this direction. They were convinced, oh, no, it's just going to die. Just don't fuck with it. It'll just die. Like, we don't need to find it. Just give it time to die. Whatever the fuck that's all about. And then they were convinced, Easton insisted they'd hit the buck twice, but there were no more holes, and he hadn't actually seen the second impact. And it's like, just because you hit it, did you hit a fucking animal with a bullet doesn't mean it's going to fucking die.
No, but they're pretty tough.
I expressed my opinion, and yes, I used that word that they were mistaken and had not connected other than the one she shot that clipped the buck's belly. I never called either of them a liar. So there you have it. I can't describe how sad I feel as I write this. I hoped we could be friends or at least remain honest and forthright, but it seems bitterness has corrupted that possibility. In the end, Rochelle first and then Easton agreed to let me just have the deer, and I assured them I would get a reproduction made for them at my cost. Everyone's hearts were heavy. It was a really unfortunate deal for everyone. And yes, I tagged the deer once it was decided who would take it home before leaving the site. I have photos to prove it. In her post, Rochelle misrepresented what happened in so many ways. I never did change my story. I wish I had recorded the entire episode so you could listen to exactly what happened. Let's be honest, it was probably like, you can just have the deer. memories have a way of becoming twisted when bitterness reigns. I never told her that she didn't deserve a deer that big. What I did say was that I felt like people's first deer shouldn't be monsters. I do believe that, but the conversation had been about a buck Easton lost to another hunter on a different occasion.
That's such a douchey thing to say.
I mean, yeah. I feel like she really threw me under the bus with her statement about my wanting to be in all the pictures. That was low. I remember all parties being quite cordial and friendly, and I sure as heck didn't try and resist. Okay, I'm off his side. He used the word heck. To try and resist them getting photos with the buck. In fact, I was happy to take some of them. Why didn't she mention that in her post? And the way that she threw dirt on my desire to give thanks to the harvest is sad, too. And this sounds like a situation where, like, it happened and, like, everything was probably fine at the time, but you leave and, like, everybody gets worked up after the fact. More I'm reading all of this.
Probably. Fucking Easton. I don't know. It sounds like a pretty big cluster F, number one.
But, like, this comes back to, we've talked about this a long time ago on the podcast, is, like, sometimes, like, just, like, tragedies exist for a reason where, like, a confluence of shitty factors come together to make a shitty situation. And it's like, sometimes you just have to be like, man, that sucks. You don't have to, like, ascribe blame for every single fucking thing. It's like, who's more right? Like, there's probably not a... it sounds like they were trying to get to factors, but if you know, they're like, oh, well, you just take the deer, you can't get upset later that you...
It's stupid.
That you let somebody take the deer.
It seems to me... as if they skinned it, they showed him where the impacts were, and at the time, I don't care how passive aggressive you are, at the time it seems as if, this is all, you can't really know, but it seems as if she fully realized that it was, you know, she only hit it once in the belly.
Yeah.
Did it ever say how he allegedly got ahead of them, like why he was the one to actually dispatch it?
I have no idea.
That's another interesting point to me. Like, okay, place myself in that situation.
Well, you're asked to be walking so much faster than everybody else that you'd have been ahead.
Yeah, y'all wouldn't have a chance. I'd be running nearly. But place myself in that situation. If this, like, this, these events came to be, and I literally didn't see a caller when I shot this deer, okay? And I don't know what their situation was. Clearly, I can't be too judgmental because I fucked up, shot one in the knee. If I'd have gotten over a ridge and seen a collared deer, if she would have been right behind me, I'd have been like, get up here and shoot it. But if she wouldn't have been right behind me, I'd have shot it. And then I'd be like, hey, let's go get your deer. I don't give a fuck how big it is.
When he says that, he suggests that, like, have your rifle ready.
Right. Which is smart. I mean, But I mean, at the end of the day, it's like, I don't know. Like, it seemed,
well, like, was he more physically fit than everybody else and like was keeping up with it? Because it sounds like by the time they found it again and it took off again, initially his son and Easton were there with him. But then, like, once it took off, it was like, sounds like it was just him. Which, again, is like, would the animal have gotten recovered edgewise?
Probably not. I mean, if it had been, okay, so let's back up, take Benedict Arnold out of the equation here. Sounds like they, Rochelle, wasn't even, Rochelle and Easton wouldn't have found their deer. Sounds like to me. Like, if they thought it was in some sort of patch of trees or whatever. And it sounds like to me, if old boy wouldn't have been in there, they wouldn't have, like, they never would have found it. And it just went off somewhere. And if the wound is exactly what he's talking about, not bleeding, which I find it hard to believe that a knee shot was creating much of a blood trail at all. Because I've seen those before. Remember, I've guided quite a few people. Actually, my foul up on my antelope was basically a knee shot. It didn't bleed. It bled for just a few minutes and quit. And he never stopped moving. Like, it, I don't know. There's so much.
Well, it sounds like if he knew where it was going, though, because that's what I'm reading right here. He says, it was my opinion they would not have recovered the buck. Her wound was not quickly lethal, if ever, and was leaving zero blood to trail. Without my hit leaving a blood trail, the only time they mentioned actually seeing blood was like at the site. Like whenever they it sounds like when they first met up and it was like, oh, ours went this way. And he's like, well, ours went this way. And then they saw blood and like, oh, ours must have went this way too. They never would have found that buck. And this is where it gets fishy. You ready for this?
I know. There's
unless they had access to the tracking data from the buck's collar. Did they? Question mark. Is that how they knew where to hunt? Question mark.
Oh God, what a.
And, but here's another thing. I will mention that there was a seriously illegal act performed during the follow up, not by my group, but I prefer not to make a statement that might get anyone in trouble.
Is that all he said?
Well, there's other stuff, but like in regards to that. And then he had taken down his Facebook page or Facebook post and had said, I have removed my recent post. I have involved the UDWR authorities to help sort this all out. It may take some time, but I'll do my best to keep you apprised.
Interesting. the tables turned.
Okay.
Turntables.
All the bullshit out of there. You gut shoot a buck. You skim the belly of a buck with a round with a 6.5 PRC. And somebody else takes out its leg.
That poor little bitch.
Oh, yeah. Other than that poor deer, it seems like which one's more of a lethal shot? Like, who has, just at that analysis, who has more claim to it?
The gut shot. I'm not buying. Unless she's shooting some stupid fucking non-expanding bullet like a CX or something, which you don't need to be shooting at long ranges. Say what I said. I find it hard to believe that a gut shot somehow zipped through without leaving any kind of blood trail or anything like that. Gut shot's gut shot. Again, unless, like, his explanation doesn't, something's not right. I wish I knew what kind of ammo she was shooting. Because, like, they even buy that. The fact that it was shot anywhere in the stomach. And it didn't leave some sort of blood trail. Like, it didn't severely render the deer. It's kind of, I don't know. There's something fishy about this whole thing. Like, you know what? I'm calling it right now. Both of them are liars.
Oh, yeah. There's some third.
She's definitely a drama queen. I'll call it right now. And I'm not liking some of his, I don't know, something's weird about this story. I'm sure there's going to be more to it. Also, it's funny you mentioned the tracking collar thing because, like last year I was reading an article about that. someone using caller data to find these big deer and shit. But anyways, I don't know. It's hard to say because now it's like, oh, who do we believe? You know what? Practice more. And, you know, again, putting myself in a situation, let's just say everybody's recount of the situation is true. The minute I walked over the hill and seen it was a collared buck, if I could have been like, get up here and shoot your deer, I would have. If she wouldn't have been anywhere near me, I'd have shot it and be like, go get your deer. But that would have been the end of it.
Yeah.
But these whitetail hunters, that's my big deer. It's got big horns.
Yeah, it almost seems like you were trying to, like, if you're hunting near another camp and you guys know you're both hunting, that's what seems odd to me. Like, they're both hunting the exact same spot. And, like,
oh, that happens a lot. And
but yeah, you would almost, I feel like you would, like, work that out prior.
I'd have left. I wouldn't even, like, it's very real possibility that they didn't know each other was there until after the shooting began.
Well, yeah, true. And that's what, maybe I will white knight a slight amount. It's like, at that point, like, wouldn't you almost, like, combine parties? Like, let's get this person on their animal and get me on my animal kind of thing? Like,
you would think.
Yeah, because that's another thing. Is like, you're just, like, setting yourself up for this kind of
my
shit.
My question is, did anybody, okay, so it sounds as if.
But he wasn't wearing an orange hat, Wade.
Bah. Sounds as if there's a group of trees. What'd you say, oaks? Stand of oaks or whatever. Sounds like to me that there's a group of trees in question here. Did anybody go look in the group of trees? Because, like, there's a real potential that there could have been another buck shot. Sounds to me. Now, at 700 and whatever yards, I can see, especially, like, if he's one of those big guys that gets super fucking hyped up, I could see where you just wouldn't even notice the collar at 700-something yards. But, I mean, obviously, they noticed the collar at 630. Were they running a bigger spotter or anything like that? Were they watching it longer than him? Like, sounds to me, the potential could be real that there's another buck that got shot. And then they just converged on the same one. I don't know. I'd be curious to know if anybody went and looked in the group of trees. Like, maybe maybe he shot a whole nother deer. Maybe she hit it four times. Maybe one of the shots hit him in his knee. Like, at 700-something yards, if you shoot a deer in the knee or whatever, and it takes off immediately, you don't know you hit it in the knee.
I remember seeing one thing where he talked about it, took a dive.
Yeah, it'll damn near respond like you hit it good.
Yeah.
Let's see if we can find that again. What if there's another deer out there that's just laying down there in that group of trees? That old boy shot. And he saw that, like, he saw that one and he went after it. Like, what if she did hit it another time? But she hit it in the knee. Anyways.
It's all
a bit ridiculous.
This commenter on this post, I quit reading about the time her husband had to reload her gun for her or whatever, learn how to operate the tool. If she truly shot the buck low back and in the guts, it's this guy's deer. Get over it.
It's a bad look for both of them. I'm just going to say that. Fucking Easton. I swear to God.
Yeah, I just love how he's like there, but like not involved.
I'm telling you. My jokes off air were probably pretty true.
Yeah.
Anyways, it's a bad deal. It's a bad look for everybody that should have never made a big deal about it. Should just, you know, whatever. Should have figured it out right then and there. Not wait till you got home to be pissed about it.
Well, yeah, again, that's where it gets conflated to me is like, why, like, if this guy was being such a dickhead, like, why would he let you take pictures with his deer? If that's what he was
doing. Yeah, no, that's another one that's like, really? Was he really that big of a dick? Because you, like, get a picture of the deer. You know, and it seems pretty... The situation seems pretty weird.
Yeah.
All in all, it's just a bad look for everyone. They shouldn't even married all that bullshit online.
I think that's kind of how I feel about it. What would it take for you? Like, what would, like, new facts presented... Like, that would make you change your mind one way or the other?
I mean, I'm kind of in the middle on this. Like, they both fucked up. They're both kind of being assholes. And
yeah.
I don't know. Like, I don't know. Seems like there's something else. Might be something with that. Like, his little jab about tracking data. Seems like there's something behind that. It'll be interesting to see where this goes. Not really that interesting. Like, I'll probably forget about it unless you bring anything up. You should let us in the comments down below. If you haven't heard of this, go listen to the video and then do some research, figure it out. Let us in the comments down below what you think. Who's the rifle owner of this deer based off the completely two different stories you got from the people that have to. You know what? Let's get Easton in here. I bet Easton's an honest guy, but he'll tell us what happened. You know what? I'm offering right now TPH Podcast for Rochelle to come in here and Mr. Benedict, and we hold court. I am a judge. It is Judge Chandler here. And then I'll make the call whose buck it is based off the evidence. I will need
Can we do the game show, Whose Line Is It Anyway? But like, whose buck is it anyway?
Yes. I need the son to come in, give his expert testimony. And I need Easton to come in and give us our
Wait, do I finally testimony. Get to be a lawyer?
Yes.
Crossy.
Wait, who are you representing?
I'm representing the truth. God damn it. I'm going to cross-examine everybody.
It'd be interesting to have one of them in here to tell the story. I mean, I don't think Raquel would probably get along with us, but whatever.
Probably not.
I wouldn't trust Raquel. I'm just saying. You don't trust anybody named Raquel.
It's like Rachel, but like with an extra L-E on it.
It sounds like a stripper name. I'm just going to say that.
Wait, you can't say that. We're on the internet.
It does. Raquel, come on.
Yeah.
Have we beat this dead horse enough?
This dead bug.
Ayo. It was a good deer.
This meme is a little deer and it says, I'd like to tell my side of the story now. I witnessed a lot of bullshit in the canyon that day.
I just wish somebody had shot it better. But you know what? Shit like that happens. You're going to foul up. You're going to mess up. It doesn't matter. The best thing that you can do is try to quickly put it down. Get it done. Be sure and go check out AllyMunitions.com for ammo that won't just pinhole through.
Yeah.
And get optics and everything else. Or if you're in Midland, go by Ally Outdoors. Maybe hit up that gun range.
It just makes you... there's so much more I want to know about the... what I'm with you. What kind of rifle, what ammo, what optics are we using? When was the last time the rifle was sighted in? You know, there's so much I want to know.
I want to be a fly on the wall that day. When they say hunting group, was it just Mr. Benedict and his son, or was there more?
It sounds like it was Mr. Benedict, his son, and a friend.
We'll just find out this mystery friend. Get him on here.
Yeah. He probably wants nothing to do with it. He's probably he's probably outdoor rider related, and he's like, oh, I don't want to get fucking shit canned there.
If something like this has happened to you before, let us know down below. I would assume every single year on, you know, these BLM, government land, all that kind of public land, all that stuff, things like this probably happen.
What do you think the best way to avoid potentially getting in a situation like this is?
Well, number one, if you see someone else in the canyon you're in or whatever, just move.
Don't even shoot in the same canyon as them.
I don't care.
What if you've been like fucking, you've been someone scouting this canyon for a week and then somebody randomly shows up?
If they ain't going to leave, if they visually see you there and they ain't going to leave, be the bigger man, leave.
Yeah.
That's how I would treat it. Because like, you're asking for that situation.
Yeah.
Like, if it's a big animal, whether it be elk, mule deer, whitetail, whatever the case may be, if it's big, you know the other person in there is probably going to go for the bigger animal. Like, be the bigger man or woman and leave. Remove yourself from the situation.
Maybe you alternate it. And so when you approach the group, instead of being like, oh, let's all work together, you're just like, this is now a competition. The first person, the animal who kills it, gets it.
Yeah, or... like, if you find yourself in a situation where you're right next to the person and you can talk to them, maybe find out what their intentions are. You know, are you going for a big deer? You know, blah, blah, blah. Maybe talk, maybe be friendly. And maybe, just maybe, if they get something that maybe you were after or whatever, don't be mad. Be happy for them.
Yeah. Well, yeah, something like there was two other bucks there.
Yeah, there's one less because the other one's sitting in the trees. They just didn't go down there and find it. Maybe just don't get upset.
What if there was a third hunter who was watching? Like, he took a shot and was watching all this go down. I was like, I'm not fucking getting involved in that.
That'd be hilarious.
It's like the third. He has video of it all too. <It's> like,
there's been scenarios where in public land back deer hunting, back a long time ago, I found myself just having to be in the same area as another hunter. You know what I did? I just fucking left. Public land, it can always, you know, I don't want to be on the wrong side of a public land shooter. So I tend to just leave. But if I, like, found myself next to a person, I'd politely say hi and everything else. And if there was, like... I'm trying to put myself into, like, these serious deer hunters. But to me, there ain't no deer worth maybe potentially losing your life over. And I know that shit happens too. Like, people get mad enough to where, like, some bad shit has happened. But I'm trying to put myself, like, if I'm that passionate about it, I'm not leaving this. I would want to talk to them and maybe even say, hey, I'm after such and such buck. Here's what it looks like if I have a photo for some reason. Good luck to you. I just want to let you know the area I'm in so I don't get shot. Maybe. I don't. You know, and if they shoot it from underneath you, there's not a deer in this world that's worth losing your life over. So, yeah, it might be upsetting at first, but get the fuck over it. It's a deer. Go find another one. That's just my thoughts on it. And I know I'm not gonna see this the same way as some of the deer hunters, because I'm not that way towards deer.
Yeah,
like I get satisfaction out of the meat or out of the unique shitheads, but I mean, there's not one that's unique or shithead or meaty enough for me to, like, get upset and just, like,
What? That's actually, let's be honest, that's the. They should have split the meat.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, getting your fucking horns mounted is gay. Stop doing it. That's like, look at the thing I killed. Nobody cares. Nobody, like, looks at your mount and goes, man, that guy's so cool. Look what he killed. It's really just, you guys, like, pile them up. You have no place to put them. It's inconvenient. It's ugly on a wall. It's stupid. Stop doing it. How about that? There's a hot take for the day. Like, oh my god, I killed this one thing. You're this one time.
Definitely.
And it had, like, because a bunch of factors outside of my control, it has slightly larger than average, whatever. Like, if you have, like, a game ranch or something, and you have a whole wall, I'm like, I guess that makes more sense, but, like, oh, I gotta put my big deer head in my office, so all my people who come into my office see how cool I am. I'm a hunter.
You're treading in water you don't understand right now.
That's fine. Gonna
get you some height.
Like, why nobody? It's like people. It's like showing pictures of your vacation. It's like deer antlers. It's like, nobody cares about your vacation. Or, like, talking about your dreams with people.
This is where you're wrong. Other hunters care, John. Especially other quote unquote trophy hunters.
Yeah, it's gay.
I can't get behind spending the money it costs for mounts. Like, I try to European mount everything.
Those are way cooler, by the way.
I like them better.
Yeah.
Because, like, okay. European mount, it can get messed up, but people got it figured out pretty good, like how to do it properly to where it turns out good and stuff like that. Whereas these lifelike mounts.
It's styrofoam. Get over yourself.
Now, They've gotten the whitetail figured out pretty good. Like, it's, you know, which that still happens.
The thing is, like, the mounts look the exact same as everybody else who has a mount. They all look the same.
I will say this, like, a good taxidermist is like a fucking artist.
Yeah,
like,
of course.
Like, if you walk into a room and it feels like the animal is literally alive staring at you, no matter where the fuck you go, that's a good taxidermist. But you could potentially spend a lot of money and get fucked. That's why I just... And I don't know. It's like there's a massive cost difference. And I'd kind of like to see the skull. Like, I want to see unique differences in the skulls rather than just looking at, like, I have a photo of what it looked like.
Who cares what it looked like?
I have the horns and the skull, like the unique thing, like all the glands in the forehead and all that kind of stuff. Like, I'd rather see that. But you're treading, like, you're going to upset a lot of people talking about that bounce like that.
Yeah, whatever. It's dumb.
Okay,
why are you hunting? Are you hunting to circle jerk about how big you're? Yes, you are. That's why you're doing
it. What are you talking about? Ain't nobody substance. There ain't many people substance.
It's like your entire life circles around going out there trying to get a slightly bigger buck and spend like a month of your life in a deer camp away from your wife so you can drink beer and not feel like a man once in your life. And then you come back. And you pass out your deer sausage to a bunch of people who don't fucking want it and don't do anything with the rest of it and put it in the freezer till it goes bad. All because you got big horns on my wall. Got big horns.
I could, you know, there are a lot of people like that. But also, I know the serious hunters who, like, it's more than that to them.
Well, you know, I agree. I think there are people who it's like, it's a lot more than just big antlers. Like... I just can't. I'll never comprehend that. I would be more upset in that. I'm like trying to like really put myself in that situation. I'd be like, well, can I get half the meat? You know, like, well, like, oh, you want, oh, you want the horn? I don't have to deal with the horns. Like, oh, fuck, have it.
Neither one of those people were after the meat.
Yeah.
I can tell you that right fucking now. Like, it's prime narrative that it wasn't a meat.
Like, you're gonna use your tag, I can get some of the meat, and like that I would be like, fuck, I have them goddamn
horns.
Can
I take a picture real fast so I remember this? Yeah, okay, I'll take the meat, you have the horns.
Yeah,
like, yeah, but that, you know, I'm not your typical horn hunter. Most of them, like, I can 100% see where a lot of people would be like, now I don't understand it.
Why don't those guys just go? Be
very upset about, like,
why don't they just go to the fucking the stupid deer ranches with the ridiculous horns? Like, shoot one that has ridiculous horns once, mount that one up on your wall, and then just like,
because that's not real hunting, John.
Go back to doing whatever it is that deer hunters do.
Talk about deer hunting. That's what they do when they're not hunting. I don't know.
Dude, I saw this deer the other day. Its horns were like slightly bigger than the last deer I was telling you about.
I can, from a management standpoint, like,
I think it's cool. I like, on that side.
I like that side of it. I like growing, like, knowing what I'm doing is having some sort of, and not so much the horns. Does that mean there are certain, you know, limiting factors from that standpoint, no matter where you go. But from like a healthy herd standpoint, like if the buck has big, illustrious antlers, from my standpoint, from like a management standpoint, I know that like all of his other needs are met and he has extra for the horns. I know that it's like an indicator that I'm doing things right. But as far as like having to shoot that, I have to kill the biggest buck. That doesn't exist in me. Never has. Even though I grew up deer hunting and I still deer hunt now, but It doesn't exist for me. It's hard for me to put myself in those people's shoes because that feeling, that whatever that is, that it's not in me. I wanted Dad to sit in on this podcast because, like, he has a good perspective. Like, he wants to kill big, mature bucks. He was also,
I think there's like there's a balance. There's like, I want to like shoot a nice, healthy deer versus just like getting like way like. Like you don't want it obviously to be like some fucked off thing. I mean, I don't really care. But what I'm getting at, like, in general, like, oh yeah, go shoot your nice thing. But it's like, where it becomes all about that, I think, is what
right. All about the horns and all that shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not my thing. I suppose I get it, but it's not my thing. Yeah. Do what you do. How about that? It's a good place to wrap it up. Where we beat this, as you said, beat this dead buck.
Yeah.
Well, folks, we appreciate y'all watching. Let us know down below what you think. Are you familiar with the situation? Are you familiar with a similar situation? Has this happened to you? We'd love to hear about it. Let us know in the comments down below. Please like, share, subscribe, all that jazz. We'll see you guys next time.